I'm Billy Minardi. Thanks for asking me to do the chair, and I'm really nervous. I know people say that before, but I've got to say it as well. 11 years ago, I was introduced to this programme, and it was I wasn't introduced to it by an addict, I was introduced to it by my key worker. She's in this meeting tonight, she's not an addict, she saved my life. And I was forced into the meeting, because at that time I was a chaotic crack user, you know, and I was a thief, and I was living like a rat. And where I was in the building that I was in, it was a hostel in Victoria. I never knew anybody that never used drugs, you know. Prior to being there, and prior to becoming that kind of addict, I'd managed to, you know, live and use and go to work and function. But in 1999, I come back to the Caribbean. I had a lot of money, but I was running away from stuff, you know. I was always running, escaping away from relationships. I was unmanageable then, you know. Things had got worse, and I picked up cocaine. And then I found myself, like, the lines just... I couldn't get enough of it. You know, it just spiraled really out of control for a guy that was kind of travelling around the world, working and functioning to one line, and it just never stopped. It just ran away like a train. And I soon found myself unable to pay my rent, unable to look after myself, and I ended up on the street, you know. And I was on the street, and I wasn't even claiming benefits, and I just never knew what to do, you know. So I just stood beside people and just hung around, and I looked at people that were drinking special brews, and I thought, that ain't me. I ain't a special brew drinker, you know what I mean? And I kind of stayed away from them, like, you know what I mean, because I thought, I've got to get in there. Like, I know they've got to be a handful, they've got to be trouble, because, you know, I'm the kind of guy that's, like, a bit wide. You know, I use that terminology for prison, because I'd done prison before, you know. So I didn't like hanging about with people that was on the street drinking super lagers or anything like that. And I did end up, you know, in this hostel. And in that hostel, I'd get up, I wouldn't wash, you know. And if I did wash, I'd go into a shower, and there was probably shit lying there, like, you know. I mean, it was really disgusting, like, you know. And I thought I deserved better than that. But I was in that. That's where I ended up, like, you know. I would have been better off in a prison. I would have been fed 3 times a day. You know, possibly clean sheets. I mean, when I was in prison, you change your underwear once a week in Wandsworth and every other nick, because I'd done every nick, like, in the 80s, you know. But I'd ended up in this hostel, and it was just, it's where I ended up, like, you know, a plastic mattress and a crack pipe. And what I used to do is I used to smoke the pipe, I stick it on the outside of the window ledge, and I pull the window back a little bit, and then I'd go for the pipe again, and it would hit, and it would go out the window, and it'd fall 3 floors, and I'd run downstairs to get the mesh. I was off my nut, like, you know, just for this drug. And I just sort of, like, thought I was just a crackhead. That's what I used to call myself, until I was forced into this meeting, where the key worker come to my door, and she'd bang on the door, and she'd say, I know you're in there smoking crack, Billy. You need to come out of there. You know, and I thought, leave me alone, get away. You know, but a bit of me knew it's, you know, I had to do this, like, you know, because I was getting sick of, like, getting chucked out of hostels because I couldn't afford to pay £10 rent. You know, I was making thousands of pounds every week because I could graft, like, even though I was using, you know what I mean? And I couldn't pay a £10 service charge, and I couldn't even feed myself, you know. But she says, you need to come out of that room, and you need to go in this meeting. And I went into the meeting, and you could have just chucked me in there in a wheelchair. Like, I just sat there, like, just had a pipe. I just had a pipe, like, you know what I mean? And the woman handed me a preamble from a different fellowship. But when I read that, I was like, and I just thought, this is me. You know, I was reading about me there, you know. And then I heard the women share, and her partner share, like, you know. So I kind of got a little bit of respite in that small time, because I was the only person in that meeting. It's just them two people and me. And this says, come back next week, we'll be here. next week, come out of that room, I know you're in there smoking crack. And I went out of the meeting, I went in and I seen these two people again. And I felt a little bit better. I felt like, yeah, I've been here before, I know what's got to happen here. And after the meeting, I asked them if I could do what they had done, because I never knew what a rehab was. And they says, yeah. So with that, my key worker then arranged for me to get set up to go to this rehab. And that's what I'd done. I never made it the first time round because there's a woman come to the hostel with loads of money for drugs from her. She didn't want me to go to rehab. You know, she wanted me to continue using this woman, you know what I mean? So the next time, because I missed that appointment for the rehab, what I done is I went to my key worker and I says, please, you've got to take me away because this woman wants me to come and use. She's in the hostel. So that's what I done. I stopped with my key worker. I got on the train, but I had a drink on the train all the way down to the rehab. And when I got to the rehab, right, I turned two suitcases. One was rammed. You couldn't carry it. It was rammed with books about crime. Yeah, that's what it was. It was all books on crime. I'd nicked every one of them books. And I said, this will damn me, I've got it. And that's what I'd done. And when I got to the rehab, the guy that was taking me to the house, he went, you're not going to need these, mate. You know, it's a struggle. But, and I thought, you can't take my books. You can't take... You know, that is where I was. I was so far up my own backside. You know, I thought, I've heard, you know, now I think I know what's going to happen. I'll be able to just kick back. It'll be all right. Better than going to jail, wouldn't it? But when I got through the door of the rehab, I felt like there was a weight straight away lifted off me. I thought I was saved the minute I went through the door. I don't know why that was, you know. But there's a sense of, like, you know, that there's got to be a change here, that it's got to work for me. And it did kind of work for me for the short time that I was there. I had a gamble when I was in there, and it never really registered to me that I can't gamble. And I went and put a lottery ticket on, and I got launched for that one lottery ticket, and I thought, it ain't fucking right, man. I ain't using drugs. But that's the one thing I never actually... And it's a hard one for me, because I never look at gambling as being part of my addiction, and it is. It plays a massive part of my addiction. It's taken me at the door quite a few times, only for a short period of time. Whereas I've maybe gambled colossal amounts of money and went, oh, fuck it, I might as well have a little hit now, you know what I mean? I've messed up. And then I went back on a gear kind of quick for maybe 50 minutes and thought, I don't want this. So there's some, you know, and luckily enough, I've got back to the rooms really quick. Because I used to do 3 meetings a day. I used to follow, but just go, try and get this, you know. And I'd done enough treatment centres, you know, a day programme. I went the same day programme 5 times. I went, you've got to give me back here. I don't know, I've got to get this, you know, I've got to get this. And because I find it really difficult, you know. I mean, all them years of using, and then no using. So I've got a head like a washing machine. And I don't think, because the drugs that I used, I'm the same as somebody else that was using a different drug. I think I'm all right. It's only cocaine, crack. It's not like I've got to get a withdrawal, is it? It's not like heroin. It's worse for me, because I've been frying my brain. And that brain of mine was, you know, after about 30 days, I'd go into psychosis off being clean. And I found myself naked one time on the monuments up in Trafalgar Square. You know, it's not funny at the time, like, you think, oh, you know, there's guys up there, I remember those guys doing some sort of martial arts, and I'm thinking, yeah, fucking, I'm up on a statue, he's bollock naked. And the police are gone, can you come down? And I'm looking at them, I'm feeling like I'm on, like, wheezing, like, you know. And they put me in the car, like, but my brain then was away in some sort of wishy-wash place, like, you know, the end of the world thing was happening for me. It was just unreal where my imagination and mind was gone at that time. I was a very scared, vulnerable place, like, you know. And I never put that down to drugs. But it was. It's all drugs. Drugs has caused all that damage. And if I pick up, I've got no doubt about it, that will start again. I can remember I had a girlfriend and a mother run for a meal one time, and they were being nice to me, and they were sitting there having a drink, and I'm going, I can't drink. Can I touch it? You can just have one. Half a glass, I went into psychosis that night. And I was in a hospital for a couple of weeks, just looking at the window. And it's just the same psychosis, just a different episode. But it did always get worse. So I'm glad to say that I now know that, acknowledge. I know I've only got a short time to say stuff, but what I'd done is I kept on coming back. I knew there was something here, and I just done it. I kept coming back. I've only got a couple of years clean now, but it's, when I say only, you know, if you're new in here, like, and you're struggling to understand any of us, I struggled for a lot of years because it's not about the drugs, you know, and it's not about the gambling. It's just about something that, you know, once I do one thing, I kind of stay still with these things that I pick up. You know, I do shopping, spend too much money, take on debt. There's loads of different addictions, but one for me is not to go into a bar and pick up a drink that will lead to a drug. But gambling can do the same for me. It's about that feeling. So I've not done a great deal of work on myself to understand all this, but then I'm kind of new, ain't I? I've only been around 11 years. And so I'm still new. I'm still learning. I'm always learning every day. The person that kind of reminds me the most about all what's on offer out there is the newcomer. You know, that newcomer's got to remind me straight away. But also the people that stayed around have helped me. And the first instance, I think, well, nobody's really helping me here. You know, because I'm kind of like a newcomer's, like, when I was new, people would be like, I'll keep away from him, like, he's a bit mental. You know what I mean? But me, I kind of get drawn to that. I want to help that guy. And I think, well, everybody should be out there helping that person, but it's not always the way it's going to be, because, you know, I've done all that rescuing business. I've had about 10 people detoxed in my flat before. You know, some of them guys are clean, they've got married, they're businesses, and I think, that's my fault, you know what I mean, I helped you. But really, they what they actually done is, they done the work that I wasn't prepared to do. Mm-hmm. You know, they got the sponsor, they dug in, they chipped away at this, and I've just dragged my heels. You know, I don't know how many people have asked to sponsor me in this meeting. I have asked quite a few, not everybody's accepted me, but, you know, that's because maybe other reasons. People used to say to me, ask somebody to sponsor you, and oh, you know, so I can't, you know, if somebody says to me, will you sponsor me, and I go, well, I can't sponsor you because I've already got sponsees. So I've asked people that's never been there because of that reason, maybe they're not ready or they're busy, you know what I mean, and sometimes that rejection could be, oh, you don't fucking like me, you know what I mean, but it's not true. I think everybody in here is wanting to help each other in here, and I love this programme. You know, I've got 2 children in recovery. I have other children, but I've not made amends for them yet, you know what I mean? But the best thing I've got is this program saved my life. It's turned me around a little bit for somebody that's chaotic and shoplifting, gambling, out on that street causing all sorts of criminal damage to people, damage to myself. I don't commit as much damage to other people. I do still do it though. But I've got that's me, you know. Say it how it is. I try my best to limit that damage, like, you know. I've been working for quite a few years. All the people that's tried to help me mainly have come for NA, apart from a key worker who is not in addiction, you know. She owe my life to her, like, you know, a fabulous person. She's a hard worker. I'm the only person that she's actually got through at that hostel to here. See, I'm the only person that's got out of her. I know that fact, period. You know, the people that I used were in that hostel, they're dead. I know they're dead. I've spoken about these people before, you know. We've tried to deliver that message back to them. I've went back into that hostel to try and get them meetings up and running again. People pull them down. But they're what I know. So I think really, when we go to H&I and that, they really should just go in there marching in and saying, you must love it. Because it's the only way these people's got to get it, you know. Like me, I'm just one out of 80 guys. And the rest just get a candle, you know. I was got to be dead. You know, so I'm grateful for this. Thanks for listening. Hope somebody got something out of it. Thank you.